It's good to see everyone here this morning. I'm glad to be able to come together to worship God, and glad that God answered our prayers for rain and many blessings we receive every day of life. And sometimes we don't take time to think about that or thank God for what He has given to us. This morning we're going to look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse beginning of verse 1. Revelation chapter 3 beginning at verse 1. It says, "To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, and you have a name that you live, but you are dead. But you be watchful and establish the things that remain, which are ready to die. For I have found no works of yours perfected before my God. Remember therefore how you have received and adhere, and then keep it and repent. If therefore you shall not watch, I will come as a thief, and you shall not know the hour where I will come upon you. But you have a few names in Sardis that did not defile their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcomes shall be thus arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life, and will confess his name before my Father and for his angels. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Here in this particular passage, we're looking at the idea of the church at Sardis and what God said about them. Now, there were faithful people in the church at Sardis, as we'll talk about in a few moments. But he says, in some ways, you have already died to Christ. And Jesus wanted them to understand. He says there, "I know your works, that you have a name that you live, but you're dead." And that's a horrible thing to hear. And so we want to look at this morning, and we, as in all lessons, I hope that we do, we look at ourselves and say, well, where can I get better? What can I do better in the service of the Lord? And Jesus is trying to get them to understand, you can still come back, you can still repent, you can do better. Now, we're not told much about the details of the church at Sardis. We don't know how many came together to worship on the Lord's Day. We don't know how much money they had or how little they had. Things which sometimes we tend to measure churches by these ideas. How many people they have, how much money they're given, and all of those things. But we do know that they had a very alive and vibrant congregation there at one time or another. In fact, they still had a good reputation for people around them. And he says, "You have a name that you live." And so their name, their reputation was good. He says, "No, but you're dead. And you need to do something about it." Jesus revealed their condition. And they probably went that way without even fully realizing what was going on or where they were going. And so we look at these things, and we need to look at ourselves sometimes and realize how much better should we be in the service of the Lord. Evidently, they thought they were doing fine until the Lord measured them by His standard and not by ours. You know, Paul warns against people who would look at other people and compare themselves with others. Well, that's not the standard. We can always find somebody that's doing worse than us. And we might think, well, okay, I'm doing a lot better than that person, so therefore I must be all right. Well, that's not the standard by which which the Lord measures. We need to look at ourselves and realize that we need to have our spiritual condition every day we live to be like Christ and to follow Him. And 1 John chapter 1 says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." We need to keep that in mind all of the time, both individually, but also collectively as God's people here. But we look in this particular passage, and in a sense, they were dead, but they didn't realize it. They didn't know that that was their condition. So we look at this, and we'll look at the idea, because there were those who are still faithful. In verse 4, he says, "But you have a few names in Sardis that did not defile their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And so there are those who are still faithful, even the church at Sardis and the others. If you read the letters to the seven churches of Asia, there are those who are still faithful, even in spite of difficult times and problems under which they lived. Well, first of all, we look at that, and what would cause then the church there, or any church wherever it is, and we certainly don't want it to be us, but what would cause the church to die wherever it may be? First of all, I would suggest it'd be lack of biblical and Bible teaching and knowledge. Now you think, well, that's the foundation of everything else. Well, that's true. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus said, in that particular case, if you know and you keep my will, he says, and these things dwell in you, he says then in verse 32, he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But you have to know the truth, have to be dedicated to the Lord for that to build us up in the faith. The Lord never promised to bless those who turn away from him and go off into the ways of the world, or to teach erroneous things even from what they might think what the Bible teaches. We have to be careful about that. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, he says, the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man to direct his own steps. In other words, we have someone who has to guide us every day. He says, it's not within us to direct our own steps. Now, we make the choice, but God's the one that directs us if we're going the right way. And Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's many people in the world who really think, and it seems right to them, the teaching and the things that they are following. But the Bible says that's not necessarily true. It says there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If we fail to abide in the teaching of Christ, as John warns in 2 John verse 9, he says we're going to fall by the wayside. We have forsaken the will of God if we do not hold on to his way, excuse me, and continue to abide in the teaching of Christ. That's the difference between the ways of the world. That's between the difference between the ways of the world and the ways of Christ. But also the churches who will be faithful to God and continue to be that way throughout their lives, and collectively, and of course individually too. We can live no better than we are taught by the Word of God. The Scriptures, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, says they are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so, in other words, everything that we need, spiritually speaking, to be guided and strengthened in the Lord's work is found within the Word of God. The Holy Spirit gave to us that message to guide us and be our guide every day that we live. And so we have to put it into practice individually and collectively as God's people. If we do not teach the Word of God, we're going to die spiritually. That's simply a fact. And it seems from reading Revelation chapter 3 about the church there that that was their problem. They had ceased to truly teach and preach the message of God. And it's our teachers, our preachers, and all of those who are coming together, and each individual, because we all have a responsibility, if we are in Christ, to teach and to set an example for others. And so they must have gotten away from that. And so we cannot afford to follow the example that they set. We cannot teach the ways of the world. We cannot teach the speculations of men and all of those things and man's ways and expect that we're going to be right with God. We have to go back to the foundation of the principle. The foundation principle of our faith is God and his message to you and me through Jesus Christ. Only when we hear, we learn, and we then make a commitment of ourselves to obey the will of God every day we live, are we going to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. Our teaching, our studying, and our listening must all be according to the will of God. And it seems that the church at Sardis had gone beyond that. they had strayed away from that way. Now, again, he says there are a few that are still holding faithful there. And so that was important. So they needed to take them as the example. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, James says there be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding or deceiving yourself. If you hear the word and then you don't obey it, he says you're deceiving yourself. If you think that you're right with God, he says you not only have to believe it and hear it, you have to be willing to put it into practice every day. And that's true for us individually and as God's church, as God's people. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, John says, "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." Now, it's interesting, you ask people sometimes maybe what their concept of the love of God is. And they probably talk about Christ coming to the earth, and that's right. It is. That's part of it. And all the things that surround it. But for our love to return to God, what is required of us? He says, this is the love of God in us, in other words. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. In other words, we do what the Lord commands us to do. That simply means if we don't apply ourselves to God's work and God's will, then we're not right with God. We're not going to be that way as the church or as an individual. And whether it's assembling together or trying to teach others or setting the example, whatever it might be, we have to go back to the foundation of God's will and God's word upon which we build our lives, spiritually speaking. Christ is that foundation. In the book of Acts, it says there's no other foundation that is laid except Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is the foundation. And we have to build upon Him. Well, they didn't show their love of God because they were not obeying the things He commanded. And they were going to be lost if they continued in that kind of situation. They had to come back and be faithful. And so, and he says in that particular passage, verse 5, he says, "He that overcomes shall be thus arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and for his angels." That's a promise to you and me, as well as it was to the church there in Sardis, that God will understand, he'll give us the privilege of eternal life. Christ will confess our name before the Father who is in heaven, and he promised that he would do that. And so we need to understand that we have to continue to teach and to learn and to set an example for others. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul said the things, he's writing to Timothy, who is going to basically take over for the Apostle Paul after Paul dies. And Paul knew when he wrote 2 Timothy, he was going to die very soon. He was going to give his life for the cause of Christ. And he wrote to Timothy, and he says the things in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. He says the things which you have heard and from me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He says, Paul writing to Timothy, he says, the things that you have heard from me, you take that, you live by it, you teach it, and you give that to others who in turn will continue to teach the Word of God to others. In a sense, that's the Great Commission right there. You believe it, you obey it, you teach others, teach them to continue to teach. And Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, He told them to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But He didn't stop there. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. He says, these things which you've heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be urgent be strong every day. And in all of those things that he says in the following, to preach that word of God, keep it before you all of the time. And if we do that, we'll not fall the way that they did. Churches die also because of lack of real concern. You read through the letter to the church at Sardis and later the one to Laodicea in chapter 3 and beginning at verse 14. And it wasn't that they consciously just turned away from God. It just took time. They just became complacent about their service to God. They didn't have a real concern. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 36, at Jesus' crucifixion, we're looking at that, and how it's the sad words that's talked about when Jesus crucified. Matthew 27, verse 36, talking about the people around them, and it says, they sat and watched him there. Now, one of the greatest things that ever was done, Christ was dying on the cross for you and me. But they were so complacent about someone being crucified. They just sat around and just watched it. They didn't care much about it one way or another. In other words, there was no compassion within them for the suffering. There was just indifference. Well, that's the way seemingly the church at Sardis and later Laodicea had come. And we have to be very careful that we don't fall into that same kind of thing, just kind of going along and going through the motions. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus' parable there of the Good Samaritan. And the priest and the Levite, the two that should have been the ones to help the man that was beaten and left for dead alongside the road, the ones that should have done something, they just passed by on the other side as if there was nothing going on. It was not their problem. Maybe they thought that way. But if we are to live, we have to be concerned about God and about His ways, about others around us and by ourselves. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, Paul said there, in love of the brethren, be tenderly affectioned one to another, in honor, preferring one another. We are to prefer each other's in Christ. That doesn't mean we're not to treat the world around us well. We're to do that as best we can. For we have a special place in our hearts and minds for those who are in Christ. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, he says, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. We're to do that for the cause of Christ. Jesus cried over Jerusalem. He had compassion over them. In Matthew 23 and verses 37 and 38, just before Jesus was about to be taken and there crucified at Jerusalem, he cried over the city and he said, if you just come back to me, like the chickens coming back to their mother, and she would protect them. He said, I will do that for you. We cannot possibly be faithful to God and go away from Him. A church that is blind to the needs of those about also are not going to live for very long. The first century church showed how this was to be done. In Acts chapter 6, there are some Grecian widows who are being overlooked in the daily helping of the people there. And so they came to the apostles and told them the problem. What did the apostles say? Well, okay, we'll take care of it. Now he says, look out among yourselves within the church, those who are faithful, those who had the Spirit of God, that they were faithful, they were zealous in the service of God, and we'll place them over this work. And that's exactly what they did. And so God's will was fulfilled, and they fulfilled what God wanted of them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and verse 1, Paul says, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I gave order to the churches of Galatia, so do you also. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by in store as he may prosper. There be no collections when I come. Now, sometimes we read that just in talking about giving on the first day of the week. But the idea is a lot larger than that. He says, you prepare to because of your love and compassion for others to help. And you set aside some to do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he talks about the poverty of the churches, certain ones of the churches. But he says they gave of their own selves first and were able to give of all that they had. In James chapter 1, verse 27, James is pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, that's what we're to do. We have to make sure our own lives are right and then help those who are around us. It's a mission of the church, yes, to help the people in the world with the physical, spiritual, and emotional needs that they have, but also to take care of those who are within the body of Christ. We have to have that concern, and feeding of the people around is important, but even more so, feeding them spiritually, leading them to Christ, and teaching the ways of the Lord every day that we live. We can die if we don't do that, and we have to be faithful to the Lord every day. That's why Jesus in the Great Commission, Mark chapter 16, he said, go and preach the gospel of the whole creation. Everyone needs to hear that message. God wants everyone to be saved, and God and Christ himself said that. He came to seek and to save the lost. That was the purpose. Churches also die because they conform to the ways of the world. The word church comes from a word meaning to be called out from the world. That's what the word means. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, he says, you are called, he called you through the gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The preaching, the message of the gospel is what calls us out of the world to be God's people and to follow his will. And for, John chapter 15 and verse 19, Jesus said, I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. He's talking to his disciples right there. I chose you out of the world. I called you out of the world. And the world may hate you. They may even kill you. But if you're faithful to me to the end, I'll give you eternal life. And we have to understand that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, Paul says there, all who would live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's going to come sometime. Someone will say something or lie about us or do something to us. And it's going to happen sometime if we're faithful to the Lord. But we have to be willing to be faithful in spite of that and set the example for others. There are those around us who do not want to teach the will of God. They won't teach, well, I think this part is okay, but I don't want that part. That's not the way we're to serve. We're to go back to the will of God in every area of life as the foundation of our faith. In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, after the confession of the Apostle Peter, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, upon this rock, this bedrock truth of salvation, I'm going to build my church, and he did that. Now, there are some people today that want to go around and follow the ways of the world around us. We have to be very careful about that. Paul warned about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul writing there in verse 14, he says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with iniquity? Or what communion has light and darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We cannot compromise with the ways of the world and be pleasing to God. We have to go to his work, a will, even if the world around us condemns us completely. We have to stand with God in every way that we can. We have to fellowship those who are faithful to God and encourage others to come back to be faithful if they strayed away. And 2 John chapter verse 10, 2 John verse 10, verse 11, he says, if any man comes to me and brings not this teaching, receive him not into your house and give him no greeting. For he that give him greeting partakes of his evil works. Now, John was not talking about taking care of people around us and then being friendly with people in the world. He's talking about agreeing with the teaching they are doing and putting our stamp of approval on it. He says you can't do that. You can be in the world, but you can't be a part of the world and follow the ways of the world. Romans 12, verse 2, Paul said there, be not conformed to this world. We can't conform the church or ourselves individually as the ways of the world wants us to do. The world wants to go after money and power and fame and pleasure and all of those other things. Our priority always has to be the will of God. And because of that, when we do so, we will ultimately have all the things that are really important: love and peace and joy and hope. But we have to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. We can't be like the ways of the world and follow the evil and immorality and the things that the world does and be faithful to God. You read, for example, in Sardis and the letters to the seven churches in Revelation. And one of the biggest problems they had was many of them had come out of paganism. And they weren't ready quite to give up all the pagan ways and customs that they had before. And the letters to the seven churches were written to several of them to make them understand that you cannot be a pagan and a Christian. You have to make a decision. Well, the same principle applies to us. Churches die sometimes because of neglect. Someone said, you don't have to do anything to kill the church. Just no longer care about it, and it will die in and of itself. And that goes for us personally, individually, and collectively too. We want to grow the church when we do so by teaching and preaching and setting an example. Now, sometimes it may not grow as fast as we want it to do, but God's going to be with us if we're faithful to the end. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, the Hebrew writer says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We cannot neglect the salvation which God provides for you and me and hope to have the promise of eternal life. Maybe people don't set out to do that, but they become complacent about the ways of the world and about our ways also and Christ's way. We cannot escape the consequences of not following His will, and we'll have the greatness of the glory of the consequences of being faithful to Him. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31, the writer says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The reason it's fearful is for people who have turned away from God and turned away from His will. We have to follow Him every day we live. It's a commitment of our life to have spiritual life in Christ, in the church, and individually. We have to continue to learn. We have to continue to obey. We have to continue to teach and set an example for others who are around us. And when we do that, the blessings of God are going to be upon us every day. So we look at ourselves and say, okay, well, where are we standing today? Oh, Lord, if He could write a letter to us, what would He say? I'm not sure. I believe we're trying to serve God, and I believe we're here today for that purpose, to worship and to serve, and we need to continue and to be an example and an encouragement to those who are here and those who, for whatever reason, are not here today, to be an example and a strength to all. But each one of us has to make that commitment personally first to be right with God. In Revelation chapter 3, at verse 1, he said, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of God, the seven stars. I know your works, and I know that you have a name, that you live and are dead. We have to be very careful that we don't fall into that kind of category. And we won't if we're faithful to Him. If we walk in the ways of the Lord every day, God is going to bless us. But we have to make a decision every day to do that. Now this morning, Jesus Christ went to the cross and He shed His blood there. He died and was resurrected and went back to heaven to be our King, our Savior, our Lord. But we have to be willing to follow Him. In the Great Commission, Jesus says, go and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieves shall be condemned. We have to do what God says, teach it and preach it and set an example every day. And when we do that, the grace, the love, and the mercy of God is going to give you and me eternal life. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, says, he that hears, let him come. This morning, If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come now as together we stand as we sing.